Happy Easter to everybody. I would first like to say that I feel extremely honored to be the one that gets to be up here this morning. But in the same term, I feel very nervous because I feel like this is a bigger Sunday than most Sundays, and I'm already nervous any Sunday, but I feel like a little extra pressure today. But I just wanted to say that I'm very honored to be able to be up here, and I don't take the opportunity to speak God's word lightly. You know, I stress and I worry and I mull over it for weeks at a time because I always want to make sure that what I'm saying is what God would have me to say. You know, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so that's what I'm praying today. I'm just praying that God's word speak. And so I'm going to probably do quite a bit more scriptures than I normally do. I know I tend to do a lot anyway. But the reason for that is I want the Bible to do the preaching today as opposed to me doing it. And I actually could have threw in a whole bunch more, but I had to contain myself and try to not do too much because I didn't want to, you know, wear you guys out there. But before we get started, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this blessed day, Lord. I thank you for the gift that you have given us, which is your Son who died on the cross for us and who wonderfully rose again to be able to save us from our sins and so that we may spend eternity with you. I pray for each and every person that is in this room and anyone who would listen to this message, Father. I just pray that you touch them, that you let them know how loved they are, and let your word speak today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I want to tell you a story, and I'm sure you've heard it before, but I'm hoping to bring like a fresh perspective to it, maybe a little bit of a new light to it. And all stories have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And so I want to start from the beginning. And when I say that, I mean the very beginning. So we're going to start right with Genesis 1. 1-3, and it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." Now, please pay attention that it said, "and God said." He didn't do some grand gesture. He just simply said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now we're going to move forward to the New Testament. So that was the beginning in the Old Testament. Let's look at the beginning in the New Testament. If we look at John 1:1-5, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not." Let's skip to verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So we have this foundation that God has always been and always will be. And in the beginning with him was the Word. And this Word then becomes flesh, and it becomes a light in the darkness, and it brings forth life. If you haven't quite figured out who we're talking about yet, you're gonna. If we look at what Isaiah said, now he was a prophet, and he actually prophesied this in Isaiah 9:2-6. It says, "The people walking in the darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And if we skip to verse 6, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." We as mankind were walking around in darkness until the light of the world came. You know, some of us still walk around in spiritual darkness at this present time. We don't comprehend that the light has already come, that the light is here. You know, sometimes we know that it is, but we haven't accepted that light yet into our life. And so if you haven't figured out, I'm talking about Jesus. He is the Word that was made flesh, and he is that light in the darkness. So I'd like to look at the birth of this light, the birth of Jesus. And you might be saying to yourself, "Danielle, come on, it is Easter. Why are you preaching a Christmas message? Why are we talking about the birth of Jesus instead of the him resurrecting?" Well, like I said, I'm telling you a story, and so I want to make sure that we get all the parts. And this is an important part, and you'll see why. So we're going to look at Luke 2:7. "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Now, I'm sure most of you, when you hear that, you immediately think of this picture. This is our normal Christmas nativity scene, right? Everybody's familiar with this. Everybody's seen this before. What would you think if I told you that this is an inaccurate depiction of the birth of Jesus. Some of you might already know, one of the things that most people already know is that the wise men were not there at the birth. He was probably about 2 years old by the time that they caught up to him, because you know they didn't have airplanes then, so they weren't getting anywhere quickly. So that's the first thing. But that's not the thing I actually want to point out to you. What I want to point out is the location, like where they are. So what it actually would have looked like is a little bit more like this one. Now, you can add some shepherds in there because they would have been there, but I want you to see where they are, and I want you to see the difference, because most of us think of the stable and the manger, the wooden ones. And so we see like this, the classic wooden manger typically, and the classic wooden stable, which Mark will put up here. There we go. So this is usually what you think of, right? That everyone says the stable, you think of this little wooden structure, we think of that wooden manger. But actually, the Bible does not say that he was born in a stable. What it says is that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and he was laid in a manger. Now, manger is a feeding trough or a watering trough for animals. So because of that, it's automatically been assumed that it was in a stable. Now, I'm not saying it isn't, but what I am going to say is that the stable would not have looked like this. Now, there is the option, it could have been just a stable for animals, or it could have been a peasant's house. The reason for that is they had their houses built into the side of a mountain, and when you first walk in, they would bring their animals in at night, and they would have a manger in that area, and then they had like a level up that would be their living area from that. So it could have been that, or it could have been a stable, which also would have been built into the side of a mountain, and it would have been more cave-like. So both situations, regardless of which one it is, I can't tell you for sure where it was, but regardless, it wouldn't have been a wood structure. It would have been more like a cave. So what it actually would have looked like is this. So like if you see that bottom little cave area, that would have been like the stable, and this actually would have been the manger. It would have been made out of stone. And so you may be saying to yourself, okay, why do we care? Is this even important? And it is, and I'm going to tell you why. So if we jump back to the New Testament, after Jesus was crucified in Luke 23, in verse 50 through 53, it says, "Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action." He's talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. "He came from a Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid." So the place where Jesus actually was buried would have looked like this. So let's look at them together. Notice anything similar? So where Jesus was born looks eerily similar to where he was laid, right? So back when Jesus was born, there was an angel that appeared to some shepherds. And in Luke 2 through 11 through 12, it said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now, I believe, if you look at the Bible, a lot of times in the Old Testament, you see a lot of foreshadowing for what was going to happen in the New Testament. I believe when the angel said this, that he wasn't just talking present moment. I believe that this was also somewhat prophetic, as the sign wasn't just, here's how you're going to find this baby that I'm talking about right now, but this sign is also going to be, when he dies, you're going to know that he was and is the Savior of the world, because he went out the very way that he came in. And so that's the reason I wanted to point that out to you today. I believe that that is a confirmation that he definitely is the Savior that Isaiah prophesied about, that he is that light that has come into the world. You know, Jesus is the only person in history that was born to die. Can you imagine, like, if that was your sole purpose for being on this earth, was to come here simply to die? He lived to die so that you can die to live. Let me say that again. He lived to die so that you could die to live. He came and gave his life so that you could have eternity. You know, when you accept him into your heart, when you get saved, and when you pick up that cross and you follow him, you get to follow him into eternity. He led the way. He opened that path for us. Very simply, John 3:16 through 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Jesus didn't die on that cross to make you feel unworthy or to make you feel condemned. He came to show you how loved that you truly are. He came to save every single one of us. You know, he took that sin upon himself, all of our sin upon himself, just so that we could know the love of the Father, real, true love, and that we could become sons and daughters of the one true God. John 1:12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. What a wonderful adoption that is, isn't it? So full of blessings, so full of grace. Now, like I said, Jesus was born to die, but you were born to live. And, you know, if you ever wonder what your purpose is, I know, like a lot of people, there are tons of messages about your purpose. There are books written about it. You know, people are always seeking and wanting to know, why am I here? Why was I created? You know, what is the purpose in this? And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot more to it, but it's going to come down to one basic seed, one basic fact, and that was the fact that God created you so that you could be loved by him. God created you because he loves you and he wants to love you. And then the return for you to love him. He wanted that relationship. He wants that relationship. He still wants that relationship with you. So if you ever wonder what your purpose is, it's to be loved. It's to be loved by God. And then you to love him in return. You know, I feel like the world is trying harder and harder and harder to convince us that it's all about us. Like, it's what makes us feel good. What do we want? How do I want things? Me, 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 I. I feel like that's constantly what's being fed to this generation, is that it's all about self. And the thing is that that's so far from the truth, because you can look the world over and you will never find anything that satisfies. You'll never find anything that gives you real joy or real hope, because the only way that you're going to find that is in God through Christ Jesus. That is the only place that you're going to find that real joy. You can find temporary feel-good moments, but that's just it. They're temporary. They're fleeting. They're not going to last. So like I said, in the beginning was the Word. That Word became flesh, and that flesh became our Savior. And that Savior became the light in the darkness. You know, you think about it. Jesus was born in a dark cave, and then he was buried in one. But yet his light shone through all that, and he defeated death, and it could not stop him. So if you feel like you've been walking around in the dark, I'm here to tell you that that light has dawned. And today of all days is a day that we remember that he rose again. That light has dawned. And I'm here to tell you that there is real hope, but you're only going to find it in Jesus. You know, I know there's times where, you know, you just feel tired of feeling sick and tired. And I'm going to tell you, when you feel that, when you feel like, okay, I'm burdened, I'm heavy, and I just don't even know anymore. It's not working what I'm doing. I'm going to tell you, all you got to do is look to the cross. But I want to remind you, when you're looking at that cross, remember that Jesus isn't on it anymore. Jesus is not on that cross. When you look at that tomb, remember that it's empty, that he no longer is laying there. You know, even the angel said that to Mary when she came looking for Jesus and she found the tomb empty. He said, he is risen. He is not here. And thank God that he is risen, that he's no longer on that cross, that he's no longer in that tomb, because he went ahead of us and he conquered death. And now he has paved the way for us to be able to follow him. You know, in John 11:25, Jesus said to Martha, now remember, this is before Jesus even gets crucified, but Jesus says to Martha when her brother Lazarus died, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Let me ask you today, do you believe this? You know, do you believe that God loved you so much that he sent his son for you? Do you realize that he's made that opportunity for you to know real love and to spend eternity with him? You know, some of us, you know, we've been saved for, you know, maybe a long time, or maybe we're newly saved or whatever. But when it comes down to it, I want you to stop and think. When I say that God died for you, do you take that as, yes, God died for the world, he died for all of us? Or do you accept the fact that if it came down to just doing it for you, do you believe that he did that? Just for you, because I'm going to tell you, he did. He would do it just for you, and that's why he did it. You know, when we face these difficult seasons, when we are in the darkness, when we are in a storm, do we remember that God is already victorious, that he's already overcome anything that we are going through? Do we remember that? Do we believe this? You know, the devil thought he won when Jesus died. But the thing is that he never even had a chance. He lost from the very beginning. He just didn't realize it. And there was this song, and man, I'm feeling my age today telling you this. There was a song by a singer called Carmen, Now, a lot of you are probably like, who is that? I've never heard of him because that shows my age. Anyway, but the thing is, he was a great storyteller. And then in the day when he was very popular with the youth because, you know, he just fit that genre at the time. But he has this song called The Champion. And he tells this awesome story. And again, I will not tell it even quarter the way that he tells it. But I'm going to try to recap it for you. But he tells this story about the battle between Jesus and Satan. And so at first he's saying about how they fought for 40 days and for 40 nights. And so they're talking about the temptation of Jesus by Satan. And he says that Jesus blocks every blow. And he presents it kind of like a boxing match. And he says that Jesus blocks every single blow from Satan. But finally, in the final round, Jesus stops defending himself. He puts down his hands. And then the devil, with vengeance, strikes this final blow, which knocks Jesus to the ground. And so then wounds begin to appear upon his hands and feet. And then he kicks him at his side, and blood and water flows. Sorry, I get emotional in that part. And then it says that, and God the Father turns his head, proclaiming Christ was dead. But then the devil's just waiting for the 10 count. And if you know in boxing, you count 1, 2. And then when you get to 10, then that's how they proclaim the winner. And so Satan's waiting, and he's like, yes, I got him. And then God all of a sudden starts saying, 10, 9. And he starts counting down, and the devil gets all nervous. And he's like, wait a minute, God, you're counting wrong. What's going on? And as he gets closer to 1, the devil realizes that Jesus is alive. And he screams, oh, no. And God yells, oh, yes. And he says, he has won. And then this is my favorite part. It says, captivity has been set free, salvation bought for you and me, because Satan is defeated and Jesus is the champion. And of course, he does it with a booming voice. And if I had one of those mics that echoed it, that would sound better. But it's amazing. And my point in telling you about that song is that I think oftentimes in our own lives, when we are going through stuff, we forget that Jesus is the champion. He should be the champion in our lives as well. You know, he has already won that fight. He has already overcome. You know, and Brad said last week, we need to stop relying on our own strength and ability and look to Jesus, because he is that light that pierces the darkness. There is nothing we can do to do it. But when we look to him, then that's where we find our victory, because he was the one that was victorious. You know, he was falsely accused. He was beaten and nailed to a cross upon which he died. And he did it all for you. You know, and today we celebrate that story and the fact that it doesn't end there, because he didn't just die on that cross. He rose again. He was able to go back to the Father, and now he sits there at his right side interceding for us. You know, he was with the Father in the beginning, and he's going to be with him forevermore. Because of him, we can do that too. We can be there too. And so remember I said that all stories have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And so what I want to say to you, if you still have breath in your lungs, if you are still breathing, and if your heart's still beating, your story isn't over yet. Don't be defeated. Remember that Jesus is the champion, and so he should be that for you as well. And you got to remember, with your story, who's the author? Are you authoring your own story? Or are you letting God author your story? And so that's what I want you to think about that today. And I'm just going to give the opportunity for anyone who, if you haven't accepted Jesus into your heart, I'm going to give you that opportunity today to do so. If you have, and let's say, but you've been running, you're like that prodigal child, you decided, you know, yes, I know God, and I've accepted God in my heart, but now I want to do things my way, and you've been running and doing them your way, and it's not working, and you're ready to come back, I'm going to give you that chance to come up, and we'll pray for you to come back to the Father. You know, and I want you to remember that when you come back, it's not like you have to have this long walk to get to him. If you think about the prodigal son, when the Father seen him in the far distance, he took off running. He beelined it for that son. And God's going to do the very same thing with you. He is going to meet you where you're at, no matter where it is. And if you are saved and you've been walking this path, but let's say you're growing weary and you're forgetting that Jesus is the champion and he has already claimed the victory. If you have something that you need victory over in your life, we're going to open it up for prayer. And anything, any need, anything that you need, we can pray for you today. And then after we do prayer, we are going to do communion, because we want to remember what today is, and we want to celebrate that today. And so actually, Brother Larry's going to lead us in communion at that time. But first, we're just going to open it up for prayer, if anyone wants to come forward, and then we'll go from there. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. And of course, we thank you for the gift of your son, Father. We just thank you that you are victorious and that Jesus is the champion, Father, and that he has risen. And we just thank you for your love. And we know that you work for good of those who love you, Father. And so we just thank you and we praise you, Father, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.